Hi, this is Alexander Rossi, 2008 Formula BMW America's and World Final Champion, and you're listening to F1Weekly.com.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial. In the second part of the show, this is podcast number 433, June 10th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly or click on the link on our homepage. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPhone, or MP3 player. Probably works on your iPad now, too. Listen to one you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen, and of course, we thank Audible.com. On today's program, Felipe Massa stays with Ferrari to 2012. Peugeot dominating Le Mans' first qualifying, which is very exciting, Stephen. And, of course, Canada and the F1 Weekly Listeners Meeting, which will be Friday, June 11th at Hurley's Irish Bar in beautiful downtown Montreal. And of course, we have Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid, and today's special interview is with Mr. Jack Harvey. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
I'm absolutely pumped up. I'm getting ready to catch my flight to Montreal, and it's going to be great.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Wish I were going this year, but
I actually have to
be in Boise on Monday.
No, well, good for you. Boise, I'm sure, is going to be a thrill for you, Steve.
Yeah, I might actually get to do some fishing, so that
yes.
Be pretty cool.
But looking forward to this trip. Of course, I have some perks going on that are going to be great.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun, because we had paddock passes when we were at Indy last time, and that was a blast. But I think gears are just a little bit better.
It is a little bit better, I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to mention it, because, you know.
Yeah, probably not. Basically, say they're Paddock Plus passes.
Exactly, but I'll be the guest of a certain group that has a head office in Paris. Let's put it that way. Anyway, Steve, Canada, just around the corner, another great Grand Prix. Of course, Robert Kubica's won there. Now we have Ferrari signing Felipe Massa and announcing it before Monza, which is shocking. They usually like to make everybody just sweat it out.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they did that just to kind of quiet the press in regards to Felipe and basically maybe give Felipe a vote of confidence so that, you know, he can maybe step up his game just a little bit more for the rest of the season.
Yeah, whatever you say, Steven. Also, of course, Red Bull signing Mark Webber. That was announced a few days ago. So everybody is just trying to get this stuff sorted out. So there will be no silly season.
Well, there'll still be a silly season. We've got, another 10, 11, 12 teams with who haven't announced their driver lineup for next year yet?
Yeah, but, you know, once, you know, the Fernandos and the Massas.
And was Jensen Button going to... Well, Button got 3 years, didn't he?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the only silly season excitement will be whether Kimi comes back to Formula One or not.
Yeah, well, I don't think Kimi will, now that really the two best seats are taken.
That's very true.
You know, what are you going to do, bring him in? Is he going to replace Schumacher again at Mercedes or something?
Very true. So, everything's calm at Ferrari. Fernando and Felipe are the happy Fs at Ferrari, so you have FFF, and it's just...
Felipe and Fernando at Ferrari.
So it's wonderful, you know, I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, somebody seems to think that they are the favorites for this weekend. Or was no? It's McLaren's the favorites for this
Lewis weekend. Hamilton's the favorite this weekend, of course. And we remember when Lewis Hamilton first raced for McLaren at the Circuit de Gilles Villeneuve, and of course he had never raced there. He goes out, dominates, wins the Grand Prix. So certainly in McLaren,
and then comes back the next year and gives the race to Robert Kubica on a platter.
Well, we have to, we have to admit though that McLaren has done an outstanding job in development and have basically caught up to Red Bull.
Yep, pretty much. Red Bull still got the faster hot lap. And it'll be interesting to see what transpires in Canada in the fact that the track is not quite so long, straight, friendly as, say, Turkey is. So it should be a very interesting weekend.
Of course, and we still have some hoopla from Turkey. And, of course, you know, we know that Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel have made up. There's loving and kissing. And, of course, there's still some hoopla over the fuel-saving scenario and the passing of Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton. And it's interesting now McLaren, and specifically Martin Wismarsh, has come out and said that those communications we heard were wrong. And this is how it goes. Shortly after he was told that Jenson wouldn't overtake him, Jenson did overtake him. Of course, that's Lewis Hamilton. Then Phil gave an opinion to Lewis, and as it turned out, his opinion was wrong, simply as that. They are racing drivers, and they both had a challenge in that race from the outset. The race was a bit quicker than expected, so we were consuming more fuel than we needed. So we had to find ways to save fuel. But
we were using more fuel than we expected is basically what he should have said. But yeah, it seems odd that they would cut their fuel numbers so close. But again, you know, you want that car as light as possible going into those final laps.
And of course, Lewis Hamilton was stunned when Jenson Button passed them. And then, of course, Lewis repassed them. And a lot of that, some people were saying there were some team orders involved. Whitmarsh claims there weren't. But still, it's funny how the press continues to just bring it up over and over and over again.
Their favorite pastime is beating dead horses.
I know, but it's still a lot of laughs. But, God, I can't wait for Canada. Man,
well, heck, you'll be there by the end of tomorrow.
I will. My flight's...
crack of dawn tomorrow.
You're taking me to the airport, Stephen, so keep up the good work. Anyway, Jean Todt has come out for my friends at the FIA and said that F1 drivers should be sensible rather than reckless role models and should be ambassadors for the sport rather than causing it embarrassment. And, of course, he's speaking about maybe Lewis Hamilton's...
There's been one incident this season. I can't remember another incident in the previous 2 years of an off-track... Well, maybe Michael Schumacher, but he was already out of the sport when he commandeered the van or whatever it was. But I haven't heard of... Have you heard anything of drivers driving recklessly off the track?
Not of late, but what I find interesting about Jean Todt's statements is that if you're irresponsible on public roads, you will pay the price with on-track penalties. So if you run a red light... In Melbourne, Australia, after the race,
well, you do donuts.
You could get a 5-grid penalty in the following Grand Prix.
You know,
is that bizarre?
That to me is just that's completely. I could understand fining a driver. You know, make him pay another 50,000. You know, another 50,000 euros or something. But I can't see because. By doing that, you're not penalizing... When you make that driver back up 5 grid spaces, you're not penalizing just the driver. You're penalizing the poor team and all the people that work with him.
And the sponsors.
Maybe it's a it's an incentive to be smarter. But frankly, I don't think it's fair to the others involved. You know, I think it's got to be more of a... You know, I don't know, maybe it's a third offense type of thing, maybe. But, you know, first and second offenses really ought to be just hit him in the pocketbook.
Well, you know, the problem is the pocketbook doesn't hurt them that much because they make so much money. I think you hit him with community service in the neighborhood where they committed the transgression.
So basically, Lewis would have to fly back to Australia to,
yes,
to do a series of safe roads seminars or something.
Safe road seminars, then autograph sessions for 16 hours in the sun.
On the Wednesday before he flies to this next race.
Correct.
So that Fernando's got an advantage over it.
Exactly.
The furious.
But I think Jean Todt is, I don't want to say he's jumping to conclusions here and jumping the gun and being a bit Max-ish, but I think he's got a good thought, a concept going on here. And you can't divvy out grid penalties for what happens on public roads. I mean,
no.
I think you could come up with a better punishment than that.
Yeah, definitely. If anything, suspend the driver from the race.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't basically penalize the team because they happen to hire a driver who's a little reckless when he's not at the track.
Exactly. Man, I can't wait to get on that plane. Canada, here we come. French girls. Canadian girls.
French-Canadian girls.
French-Canadian girls. No, it's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. Also, of course, I don't know. You know, Christian Horner is still out there apologizing about blaming Mark Webber, saying it was wrong. It was wrong to blame either driver. It was wrong for us as a team to apportion blame. He's right.
Right. So why did you say anything in the first place?
Well, you know, the emotions, the excitement.
The camera up your nose.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. All of it pretty interesting, and sure enough, it's still in the press, and we're about to go to Canada. So I find it interesting. But at least they admit that it was wrong to blame Mark Webber from the outset, which is good, because Mark Webber really, I mean...
Yeah, frankly, it's both drivers at fault in that type of incident. You know, it's not like some other incidents we've seen where he basically drove right into the side of the car because he was there.
Yes.
They were kind of fighting for position on the track.
So I don't think that's going to happen this weekend, Stephen.
No.
I think we're going to have a nice, civilized race.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because with the McLarens picking up the pace that they have, we know that the Red Bulls are strong. You know, it's going to be a two-horse race, but, you never know. Ferrari might have managed to find a little more speed and get themselves up into the mix. And then, and it's Canada, which always seems to create some kind of odd thing to happen to change the outcome of the race.
Well, the sad part is Ferrari is languishing badly this season, and it's I feel terrible for Fernando and Felipe not even being able to challenge when you're really fighting with Mercedes Grand Prix and Renault F1.
Yeah, and then you've got Luca in the papers today going, why do we have these cheap teams?
I know, and Luca went on a rant again. I'm sure there was a few broken televisions, but still, he's still bitter about the new teams. He would have preferred to see...
He'd rather put another car on the track that he can get paid for than allowing someone else come in and have a grid spot. I can understand that. You know, maybe makes the excitement a little bit more there. But frankly, you don't get strong teams without having weak teams.
I understand, but still, I think he does have a point. I wouldn't mind seeing the teams put three cars on the track. I think it would be exciting. If they opted for that, it would be an option.
Right.
And I think Ferrari certainly can afford it. McLaren... maybe Red Bull, they could hire Kimi.
Hire Kimi back. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Talk about a driver line. But the problem with that is, okay, how do you start apportioning points?
You'd have to come up with a new system.
Yeah, because if one team ends up with, three cars on the podium, it's a pretty good haul.
We could use decibel points.
Or you have to throw out your low score.
Or something. But still, I think he makes some good points. I mean, to watch HRT languishing. I mean, of course, Lotus sounds good. It has heritage, even though it's not really the same Lotus. But still, at least that sounds good, even though they're languishing. But still, I think he makes a few valid points.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. But That's what we've got right now, Luca. You know, I think it's more important to look at some of the other comments he made about maybe going to shorter races and or two races on weekends to kind of mix things up a little bit, which might actually be more beneficial to the sport than yanking the kicking out the slow teams.
Right. Well, I'm not too hip on shorter races because I want the F1 season or the weekend to last forever, you know, because as a spectator, you never want it to stop. So maybe two shorter races or similar to what they do in GP2, GP3. I don't know. I'm open-minded. I'm willing to watch a variety of different ideas to at least see what happens.
Exactly.
But still, we'll see what happens. But, man, Canada's going to be exciting. and it might rain. I'm bringing an umbrella, Stephen.
That would be very interesting. That, especially considering the fact that they've laid down a bunch of new tarmac.
Well, I could drivers have always complained. Kimi Raikkonen, for one, has always complained about the tarmac completely breaking apart even before race day.
Yeah. And frankly, for Canada, it's probably more important that it's cool than it is hot, because when it gets hot, for some reason, their asphalt just comes apart.
Well, we're looking at 76 degrees Fahrenheit during the day, which is going to be fairly mild.
It's going to mean a track temperature probably pretty close to 100 degrees.
Yes, exactly. But that's good for me. I don't want it too hot. I don't want it too cool.
Yep. The problem is on the Ile de... on the island, it's going to be humid.
Well, it's East Coast, Stephen.
Well, Montreal's a little more Midwest. But
I do not think so, Stephen. Okay. But no, you're right. It will be a little bit humid, and I'll have to deal with that. But still, I'm very much looking forward to this. Also on this weekend, which is very exciting, of course, Le Mans is kicking off.
Woohoo! The series that Ferrari doesn't want to be involved in.
Well, they do want to be involved in, but they can't stretch themselves out too thin. And I thought his answer was very honest, saying it's a question of money. I mean, Le Mans is just one race.
Well, not only that, but if you look at the Le Mans series, there are plenty of Ferraris running in the GT classes anyway. So
yes, that's true, but I think they're thinking about LMP1 class.
Yeah.
Or LMP2 class. But still, Le Mans is going to be exciting. I hope I can catch it. And of course, on top of that, the World Cup starts this weekend.
Woohoo!
So I think a lot of the drivers are going to be looking at their iPhones and getting score updates. And of course, the United States plays England this Saturday, I believe.
So all of the teams that are racing against the English drivers have an advantage.
Exactly.
Because there are no American drivers in Formula One.
Of course, and we know what happened to the English football team. Nothing but bad luck, bad karma, with their latest star player spraining his knee.
Yeah.
So, very exciting stuff, and I can't wait for Canada. Quickly, before we go to Motorsports Mondial, any predictions, Steve?
Sebastian Vettel! You know, for some reason, I really can't bet against the kid. He's just too quick. You know, and if he hadn't made that dumb, what amounted to a dumb mistake, I think he probably could have gotten Weber on the next lap if he'd played his cards a little bit smarter. But right now, I still can't vote against the Red Bulls. Maybe Weber, I'll say Weber or Sebastian.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think Red Bull's going to get a pole position this weekend. I believe Jenson Button is going to pull it off. And that's my prediction of the week. Also, I want to remind everybody that's attending the Grand Prix this weekend in Montreal. Don't forget the F1 Weekly Listeners Party at Hurley's Irish Bar and Grill on Crescent Street in downtown Montreal. It's going to be exciting. Be there at 5 o'clock Friday, June 11th. And we even have some goodies.
Some giveaways.
Yes,
some
we
swag.
We have some swag, some goodies, a goodie bag, as Nasser would say, for the first dozen people who show up on time. So there you have it, Hurley's, June 11th, Friday at 5 p.m. in beautiful downtown Montreal. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial and, of course, an interview with Jack Harvey. And, of course, I'll probably be talking about Canada a lot more throughout the program. So anyway, we'll be back after this brief message. This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. I personally recommend House Rules by Jody P. Colt, The Big Short by Michael Lewis, or The Help by Catherine Stockett. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly for your free audiobook. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Today we are great keen to bring you Dutch Treat from Zandvoort. We will check out the racing action from Brno and Doctor Becomes the Patient in Mugello, which was definitely the big news of the weekend, sad but true. Plus we have stateside action from the hills of Poconos to the prairies of Tejas, the new Jacques Tamur of Formula One in America. And talking of Tejas, there is on pitpass.com a commentary by Mike Lawrence, a longtime motor racing passionate fan, or a writer, I should say, and pretty interesting reading if somebody wants to, you know, go through it. A journey begins today with Z or Z, which would be for Zandvoort in the Netherlands. You know what Zandvoort means? Fort on the sand.
Correct. Yes, Zandvoort.
Exactly.
Yeah, clever.
Of course. We shall start with F3.
Very creative.
Yeah, exactly. Formula 3 series, the famous Masters, F3 Masters. History was made at the seaside track on Sunday. Valtteri Bottas, gentleman we interviewed last October, of Finlandia, became the first driver to win the prestigious Masters of F3 2 years in a row. So congratulations to him. And Bottas is also currently the test driver for Williams, so he's a very happy camper.
Yeah, test drivers. I mean, what do test drivers do actually now?
Well, they say, I'm the test driver. They pose for sponsors' pictures, and they show them the car and sit in the simulator.
That's nice.
Everybody spent a lot of time in the simulator.
Yeah, it looks good on the resume, I suppose.
Exactly.
And you get a half a dozen laps before the season starts.
Alexander Sims of England was second and started the race from pole position. Marco Wittmann, managed by Willy Weber once upon a time in Germany, was third. Also on the billing, on the agenda, on the show, on the weekend was Formula BMW Europe. Winner in race one was Jack Harvey. And today we have an interview with the race winner. Voila! And Jack Harvey was on Her Majesty's Motorsport Service. Facundo Regalia of Argentina was second, with Timmy Hansen of Sweden third. Race 2 was run in heavy rain, and local boy Robin Freins came shining through to score his second win of the season. And we put an interview with Robin Freins a few weeks ago.
I think it was very recently.
Yeah, very recently. So we're dealing with winners of the world.
Absolutely.
Because F1 Weekly
is on the edge
of wetness. Oh, I'm sorry, greatness. Edge of Wetness was a soap opera on Johnny Carson's show.
A great show it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, race 2 was run in heavy rain and won by local driver Robin Freins and Carlos Sainz, Bambino of Carlos Sainz, the great rally driver. And
of
his
course.
Interview is coming soon.
My God, they just keep rolling in.
F1 Weekly is on a hot roll.
It's beautiful.
And I have news for you for next season. I was talking to our executive producer. I had a clandestine meeting with him over the weekend. Oh, by the way, he pulled his shoulder, some problem, while he was helping me move some stuff.
Is this when he was watching Alex?
No, when he was helping me move some stuff.
I thought this might have been something that happened to Valentino Rossi, then it happened to the executive
when
producer.
I needed you punked out to Pensacola. Tepito was available.
Well, I was saving the earth.
Yes, thank you. And he is doing good now, so I'm very pleased to say that. And anyway, him and I were talking about some retooling, some investment in IT technology. I'm below zero on IT matters, so he's going to help me The game plan basically is do a lot of interviews on the phone, Skype interviews with F1 people.
So you're going to be setting up a communications...
Command center, yeah.
That's beautiful.
CENTCOM, they have one in Qatar. I'm going to have one here in California.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but this is more a sports nerd. Bombs and rockets. So I'm really looking forward to it because that's the game plan, sir. Motor racing, 25-8.
And what's fantastic is the beneficiaries, of course, are the F1 Weekly listeners.
Absolutely. Without listeners, no show, no Palatial Palace, no Lipton Tea. So it's all the love.
No, all the iPhones get taken away and sold.
Exactly. So, okay, and your French boy, Comey Ledogar, was third in race two. Now we travel to Brno, Czech Republic. World Series by Renault. Esteban Guerrieri of Argentina won both races of the weekend. Brendan Hartley of New Zealand was second in the first race. And Nathaniel Berthon of France was second in the second race.
I love this World Series by Renault.
Why is that? Just because of the name?
No, it's a great series. Great talent development, good cars, reasonable horsepower.
Well, the best part is that the races are free for the spectators.
It doesn't get better than that.
That is very true.
I think they have dollar beers.
Oh, wow. Wow, very good. Which one, Alonso or Kubica? No, they should have Alonso beer with Kubica piroshkis.
Keep up the good work, NASA. We'll talk to the marketing department.
Yeah, thank you. Jake Rosenzweig, only American in the race, was 16th in both races. At least he is consistent. Mikhail Alishin of Russia leads the championship with 52 points. Daniel Ricciardo of Australia is second on 49 points. And Ricciardo is the next big thing from Australia since Rue Berger and Mark Webber. This kid is very talented. I've been following. Actually, you know, he finished a very close second to Valtteri Bottas some years ago in the Formula Renault Europe scene, and then he won the British Championship in a pretty dominating style. So Danny is going places. Now we move to England, Oulton Park, a British touring car. They have three races in a weekend. The winners were race one, Tom Onslow Cole for Ford, race two, Jason Plato for Chevy or Chevrolet, and race three, Matt Neal for Honda. So pretty diversified race winners, which is good. Also at the track was the series, that's called Michelin Formula Renault UK, to give them credit. Local lad Lewis Williamson was the winner over Tom Blomqvist, son of ex-rally star Stig Blomqvist, famous for driving the Audi Quattro. And this is another kid who's going places. This is the homeboy of Zor Baumgartner, a kid named Tomas Paul Kish. And if I'm screwing up the name, I hope he's not pissed. He is from Poetry in Motorsports, you know.
Comments to Clark at F1Weekly.com.
Yeah, exactly. He's from Hungary and he was third. In the second race, our Hungarian hero kissed the competition goodbye to win over Blomqvist and our friend Harry Tinknell, who was third. And I'm in touch with... I'm getting emails now from racing drivers asking for my advice on a few things and chatting with quite a few. So life is good, and I'm really, really hoping that when these nice kids, when some of them will make it to F1, they don't tell me when I call or try to reach them, you know, hey, contact Susie or, you know, Lucy.
Who are you?
Yeah, because of their contractual obligation. Okay, moving on, we go from UK to Lausitzring, not too far. In Germany for the DTM race, an all-Mercedes podium with Bruno Spengler of Canada winning over pole sitter Paul Di Resta and Jamie Green. You know, interesting when David Richards was trying to do the Pro Drive Formula One team, mm-hmm. Spengler's name was thrown in also in the mix. And Jamie Green has done very well in F3 Auto Series in the past, and Paul Di Resta also. These are the people who have beaten Hamilton and Vettel quite a few times in F3 Euro Series competition. So... so much depends on the brakes and the, you know, opportunities. Oh, Ralf Schumacher was 9th and Catherine Leck 14th. DC's race lasted 3 laps.
Well, you know, he's just got into the series. It's going to take a little time.
Yeah.
To get used to those fenders and the roof.
My question is, did he take anybody with him?
Well, I'm sure he probably signed some kind of waiver.
going out on lap 3, first 3 laps... chances are you know, he had company.
Yeah, but still, I think DC, Ralph Schumacher finished ninth. He's been in this for a while. Yeah. This is not an easy series. Yeah. The talent level is high, and you know what? I'm going to give David Coulthard a chance.
Okay. Yeah, you get into a tin top after Rach and Open Wheel, as long as these guys have completely different animal. The balances are so much different.
Yeah.
You give him a break, and Tricky Dicky might send you a box of toffee.
He might. Just ask Dario Franchitti when he went to NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, shall we move on to Italy? Italia,
nice.
Toscana, Mugello. You know, I was talking to, some years ago to you were there also, to Ryan Briscoe. He had spent a lot of time in Italy, and I asked him which was his favorite track in Europe, and he said Mugello. And then some years ago, I went there, courtesy of our listener, Mr. Mohammed Manzoor. And what a beautiful location this thing is, man. It's very, very nice. It's for media credentials, I had to go to a town called Carpeglia or something like that. Scarpeglia, very romantic Roman names and beautiful place. Mugello, track is owned by, as I'm sure you know, owned by Ferrari. MotoGP, doctor is out. Valentino Rossi had a big accident on Saturday in practice and broke his leg. He has already been operated twice, and for the first time after 230 races, he will miss MotoGP events. He will be out for a few months and stated in an interview he will only come back when he is 100% recovered.
I'm sure Michael Schumacher gave him a call, a little word of encouragement.
Yeah, I personally will not be, I mean, he has nothing to prove on two wheels. I will not be surprised if he comes back in some four-wheel competition. Time will tell. The show and the race went on, as it always does. Danny Pedrosa was the winner for Honda. First victory of the season for the Spanish rider, fellow hombre Jorge Lorenzo was second for Yamaha, and local Andrea Dovizioso was third. Ben Spies was the highest placed American rider in seventh. Lorenzo leads the championship by 25 points over Pedrosa, and I think, like some people say, Massa's best chance to win the world championship was last year, or was it 2 years ago? Time is flying.
Two years ago,
we had the best chance. I think this is Danny Pedrosa's probably one of the best chances to win the world championship, because Jorge Lorenzo came on the scene. If I remember correctly, he made his first MotoGP start from pole position as teammate to Rossi. That's heavy duty, and I thought at that time, and I still think, that Lorenzo is the next Rossi. So Pedrosa, andale. Texas Motor Speedway, Ryan Briscoe over Danica, very impressive performance. Did anybody watch?
I didn't get a chance.
You did,
Mr.
Rogers. You watched. Wow.
It was exciting.
Did you think this was at the Austin Grand Prix track?
And I was very impressed. Danica held fourth place for a very long time, even after some tire changes, fuel, came back out, did some good pit stops. I was very impressed with their consistency.
No, very impressive performance by Danica Patrick to claim a well-deserved second place. Fellow female racer Simona Di Silvestro was lucky not to become Texas barbecue or Swiss fondue. Did you see her accident?
Yes, brutal.
Normally these people do a very good job, the safety crew.
Well, that.
But this time it was it looked very bad. I don't know what happened there, and let's just hope that it does not happen again. But the car had a big fire, you know, serious tar fire and body fire. And then they were trying to, like, basically drag her out of the car. But, you know, good thing is that she is...
she is okay. And the best thing, she's a trooper. She thanked the safety crew for helping her and everything. She had no issues to scream about a class act.
Yeah, and, the thing is, it was bad, but normally these people do an extremely good job, so... Something must have gone wrong this time. And let's just hope it doesn't happen again. Okay, now we go to Pocono, Long Pond, Pennsylvania. Have you ever been to Long Pond, Pennsylvania?
Oh, the Poconos are one of my favorite places to go on vacation, Nasser. You know that.
Is that right?
Oh,
wow.
Absolutely.
Send me a postcard next time you are there. Okay, Toyota 1-2 led by Denny Hamlin over pole sitter Kyle Busch. Joey Logano had issues with Kevin Harvick on and off the track. Finally, from the wonders of web. Wow, this I have been reading this for a few weeks, and I thought, but it's our job to bring out the news, okay? We have, courtesy of Wonders of Web, a Love Connection, which is claiming Dale E. Jr. is a home wrecker. Reports, or call them rumors, are he had an affair with Amy Ryman, an interior designer and then wife of Tommy Cook, a football coach at the University of Kentucky. I guess he amped her when she was doing interior decoration at his palatial palace. Looking forward to this weekend's action. You are headed to Canadian Grand Prix.
I am.
I understand you're flying. You're breaking all the corporate policies and procedures, and you're flying first class?
Business class. That's I mean, we do have some standards here at F1 Weekly, and our staff, none of our staff ever fly coach. You know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you guys did get the
So I'm not on the staff then?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
There must have been a mix-up in the travel department.
Yeah. Let me call Thomas Cook.
Thank you.
See what they're up to. Okay, looking for... So how long will you be in Montreal?
I'll be there from Thursday night till Monday morning.
And you're meeting some F1 Weekly family members?
Absolutely. Friday, June 11th, 5 p.m. at Hurley's Irish Pub on Crescent Street in beautiful downtown.
Well, give my love and hugs and regards to all the listeners.
Absolutely. I will give... you know, my best to everyone. They're going to looking forward to it. Don't miss it, guys. If you're at the Canadian Grand Prix, even if you can't go to the Grand Prix and if you're in town, stop by the F1 Weekly meeting for all the listeners. We'll have goodie bags for everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Good, good. Okay, anyway, so this weekend we have the Canadian Grand Prix at the circuit named after the driver who won the very first Canadian Grand Prix at Île Notre-Dame, Gilles Villeneuve, in 1978. In the very beautiful Ferrari 312 T3. Ferrari cars are normally red, but this one was red and it had a white, like a streak going at the front of nose of the car. It's a beautiful, beautiful, very graceful design. Interesting news regarding Ferrari is that, this was very surprising, I'd never heard of the guy, has signed an 11-year-old Canadian Lance Stroll to their driver development program.
I heard about that, a young Canadian.
Yeah, and he's in karting right now.
Yeah, doing some Rotax karting challenges.
Yeah, so he must be phenomenally...
gifted.
Gifted and exceptionally talented. Otherwise, you know, they don't look at these things. But so all the best to him. And... also, please, it may take a few years, but keep your comrades warm. Coming soon in a few years, the Russian Grand Prix. Bernie is working with the Central Committee of the Politburo. Tavarish will have a Grand Prix. First, they were talking about Moscow, and I think the Russian Grand Prix should really take place in St. Petersburg.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful city. That will look very good. And now they're talking about this town in the southwest of Russia, Sochi, where they will have the Winter Olympics. And that place is not too far from Turkey. But let's see what happens. And I think we will have some casualties. I have a strong feeling Hungarian Grand Prix is gone. Turkish Grand Prix is gone. He's already trying to double their fees. So we'll see. And also this weekend is the Le Mans 24-hour race. Peugeot is looking strong on home soil.
They are looking strong. Yeah. Sebastian Bourdais topping the timesheets in today's first quali.
Yeah. And so they are ready for a repeat win. It will be great for the sport. And let's see what the competition will do. Marco Andretti is in the race. And so are the Mansell boys and the world-famous Le Pepito.
No, so it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to... catching a little bit of Le Mans on the television. And, of course, the World Cup, as I said earlier, the program starts this weekend as well.
Which is very, very interesting.
Very interesting. So there's a lot of activity on the tele.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so...
Advert-free.
Exactly. Well, a lot of the drivers at the Grand Prix will be watching a little football, a little Le Mans, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So busy, busy, busy weekend for everyone.
Yeah, that's
Nasser,
good.
Thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And, of course, stay tuned for another great interview with a new and upcoming young driver, Jack Harvey.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, the interview of the week, of course. I'm talking racing driver Jack Harvey. Nasser, introduce this young man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Jack is a young English driver competing this year in the Formula BMW Europe Championship. This is his second year in the series. Last year, he was a race winner. He is with Fortec Motorsports of Mr. Richard Dutton, and was the winner of the opening race of the season in Barcelona, where this conversation was recorded last month. And check this out. In four races so far this season, he has two wins, three pole positions, three podiums, and three fastest laps. So he is quite Jack the Racer. And I would like to thank him for his time, and hopefully we'll see him in action this year again somewhere. His karting credentials are also very impressive. He is part of the Racing Steps Foundation, which was set up to help talented British drivers. And I would request our listeners to check out his career on his website, which is jackharveyracing.com. And I would like to thank him again. And cheers, mate. Okay, folks, we're here in Barcelona, and I'm very pleased and honored to be sitting with a gentleman who has won the first opening race of the Formula BMW season, and I am calling him now Jack the Racer, because he is ripping apart the competition, pole positions and for both races, and now he has won the race. Jack Harvey, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. And you?
Fantastic, thank you. Now, you won a race in Formula BMW last year also. This has to be a special feeling because it's the start of the season. You're starting both races from pole. How does it feel?
It feels good. You know, I think it's important to make your mark on the championship early. Hopefully we've done that, and you know, let's see tomorrow. Hopefully we can get another win. But I think, you know, it's slightly different to Zandvoort last year, where it was a little bit of a shock, you know, to win. But, you know, this year we've been working really hard in the winter, and, you know, I think is, let's see, try and win the championship. But I think, you know, we need to start as we mean to go on.
Yeah. It sounds like you're from jolly old England, so what part of the UK are you from?
I'm from Lincolnshire. It's, you know, if people don't know the UK, it's about 2 hours north of London, so pretty central.
Okay, in this day and age of racing drivers becoming Grand Prix drivers when they are teenagers, I was looking at your bio, and you started very late in racing at the age of 9. What took you so long?
I'm not sure really. To be honest, I had a kart when I was 5-6 years old, and we went to a small indoor circuit, and I just went there with my dad, and I really just didn't enjoy it. So I spoke to him and said, okay, let's just finish with racing. I played football. So I played football for maybe 3 or 4 years after, but then, you know, my dad was heavily involved in motorsport, not Formula racing, but it's, you know, still, you know, motorsport is, you know, in the blood of my family. So when I was 9, he bought me a kart, and I think, you know, I didn't enjoy it again straight away, but I think like anything, when you start to get a little bit better and you get more friends, and, you know, it becomes a bit more of a enjoyable, it was at the time, it was an enjoyable hobby, but hopefully now it's a career path.
Okay, now how old were you when you decided or got the idea that, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at this, I can be like Arnage?
In 2002 I just did a really small championship in the UK, then in 2003 I did the same championship again, but was, I don't know, it seemed to get a lot of, the quality of driver that year was, you know, really high, and, you know, I managed to win the championship, and it was my first proper season racing, and I was like, okay, if we keep working hard, then maybe we can, you know, keep, you know, go to where I want to be, which is, you know, hopefully Formula One. I had a pretty good year in 2004, 2005, 2006. I won the British Championship in the last year with the ICA, the JICA category, the Junior Intercontinental A Series. Then I moved to Europe Had a really good year with the Factory Maranello team. I won the European Championship, the Italian Championship, and a few other titles that year. 2008, I got an offer to go to Birrell and be a fully supported driver there. I had a great time there. I won the Asian Pacific Championship. But then I got really lucky with the Racing Steps Foundation, decided to back me for 2009. And without their financial support, I'd still be karting. So, I owe all my success to them, really.
Okay, now you've done karting in England, UK, continental Europe, and Asian Championship. When you're racing in different parts of the world, do you feel that the competition here is tougher or not as tough as where I'm coming from?
I think, like anything, to win the race is always very difficult. Whoever you are, I think you only need two people to have a race, but if you've got two drivers of very similar capabilities and natural talent, then of course it's going to be hard. I think all across the world, the racing is very challenging, and especially in the BMW Championship, the talent's very good this year. But let's see. I think we can hopefully just be a bit better than them.
Okay, we'll talk about this Racing Step Foundation. Before you got to that, who was guiding and managing your career?
I've never had a manager. I still don't really have a manager. Just me and my dad, and it's a very family based. I like to keep a very close community around me. I have Fraser, who's like my coach, kind of comes with me, makes sure I'm doing the right thing at the right time and whatnot. And that's why I like it. I don't like too many people involved. I sort of, let's keep it, short and sweet.
Very good. And when you moved from karting to single seaters, Formula BMW was your first stop. Why did you not go, let's say, Formula Renault or Formula Ford or some other junior series? What was the reason for picking up Formula BMW?
And the plan with the Racing Steps Foundation was to do British Renault last season, but by the championship had already started by the time I was 16. I was still 15 at the start of the championship, so I don't know. I didn't really want to do Formula Ford too much because I just like the look of the BMW car, and then with special dispensation, they allowed me to race in the championship when I was still 15. So that was the reason I went to BMW. And it was a great move. And okay, last season we were a little bit underprepared with the amount of testing that we did, but we had some good results, and hoping to build on that this year.
How many races it took you when you moved from karting to Formula BMW, where you felt as comfortable in the car as you were in the kart in your last kart race?
I had a really good start to last season. I managed to win my fourth race, so I guess pretty soon. But I don't know, I never really felt totally at one with the car. And then this season I've got a new engineer, and I've changed the car a little bit to how I'd prefer it. And I feel now like how I did in karting when we was very competitive then as well.
Where was your victory in the fourth round?
It was at Zandvoort.
You like that track?
I think I won there, so obviously I think that track's quite good, but whatever the result was, it was a really nice circuit to drive, very fluid, and I think it's very technical, so it highlights the drivers who can put all the laps together and every corner in qualifying. And I think but saying that, all the circuits that we go to are good because we support the Formula One, and we don't really race on a bad track.
Victory coming so quickly, fourth race would mean round two. Were you surprised that, or you said, oh man, I'm surprised it took so long? Let's see how cocky you are.
Really surprised. If I'm honest, the official testing wasn't great. We were a little bit off the pace. Then here in Barcelona last year, I managed to finish seventh in the first race, and I was like, pretty good really. But to win in Zandvoort was just amazing. I was in third on the last lap, really happy to be on the podium, but then I got an opportunity to take the lead, and I went for it, and the car was really good there. Then after that we had a few problems, but I don't know, I think looking back it was a great time, but I don't know, it still didn't feel totally correct because the drivers in front made a little mistake because of some dirt on the circuit, so it wasn't totally genuine you know, I kind of won because of somebody else's mistake. And okay, winning's winning, but you know, today we, you know, I think we were the, you know, fastest car out there. I had the best car, and you know, today felt really good.
No, you look very impressive. You were gone from the start, and it was very impressive. Apart from your win last year, what were the highlights and what were the biggest disappointment last season?
The next highlight for me was when we were at pole at Monza in the final race.
My favorite track.
For sure. The circuit there is very good. You know, a lot of history and heritage there, especially when we were walking the circuit on the Thursday. We walked around the oval, and it's so steep, you know, you don't realize how steep it is until you try to walk up it, which is, you know, pretty difficult. But you know, that was the highlight. I had a good race, but you know, I think I finished fifth, so from first to fifth, you know, we're not super, but you know, across that weekend I think the team showed a lot of character, because you know, the three races previous, we had, you know, some little problems, like the spark plug broke in qualifying, and we had, you know, little niggly problems that, you know, really hampered us a lot. So to go to Monza at the last race and be that competitive, you know, I was really happy with everything.
Okay. This year, the goal has to be winning the championship, okay? And what is your agenda? Are you going to be like Jenson Button? He was like last year in the second half, cruise and collect. Are you going to go and try to win as many races as possible?
I think to win the championship this year would be fantastic. But you know, there's a lot of competitive drivers, and you know, for sure everybody on the grid also wants to win the championship. You know, I'll keep pushing 100%, and you know, until, you know, hopefully if we win, it's mathematically possible, you know, that no one else can win. But no, I don't know. I think Jensen had a great year last year, and hopefully we can keep that momentum going for, you know, the UK.
Oh, absolutely. Now, talking of Jensen, whose side are you on? Jenson Button, as we call him, or Lou Ham?
Good question. They're both very talented drivers. I don't know. I think both have got very good qualities. And if you could take Lewis's raw racing ability and Jensen's smoothness, then I think you've got the ultimate driver.
No, this is very important, and you're a young, smart-looking guy. If both of them are out testing somewhere in Patagonia or South Africa, and their respective girlfriends are hanging out in London, who would you like to go out with? Nico Scherzinger or Jensen's lady? It's just a dinner, okay? Nothing major.
I don't know. We see which is your best option at the time.
You can't decide right now? You can always say both.
I'd say both then. Yeah, let's get everyone at the same place at the same time.
Oh, wow. Good man. Okay, now tell us a little bit about this Racing Steps Foundation. I think this is a very good, all countries should have this, because, you know, motor racing is so expensive, even at junior level, that unless you have a rich daddy, you have no chance. So I really like this program they have in UK now. Tell us a little bit about this program, when it was started, and who was involved.
The program was started in the end of 2007 and start of 2008, and the first driver was Oliver Turvey. Graham Sharp owns the foundation, and you know, a very generous man. You know, I know that all the drivers on the program wouldn't be able to compete without his financial support. So I think, you know, everybody is just so sort of grateful that there's people out there, you know, like Graham, willing to support, you know, British drivers.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Oliver Turvey. I was looking at his bio, very impressive, and I think the Racing Staff Foundation has saved his career. John Surtees is involved in this. Can you tell us a little bit what his involvement is?
John acts as an ambassador for the Racing Steps Foundation. I think at the first race he was wearing the Racing Steps hat when he was on the, you know, line of Formula 1 champions. Mm-hmm. I spoke to John a little bit. He's given me some good advice, and I think that's, you know, what he does throughout the whole foundation. Speaks to the drivers, gives them some, you know, good advice as to where they can be better, or not even where they can be better, just sort of motorsport advice. I think, you know, is invaluable, because, well, it's very valuable, but without it, you know, it's kind of really, it's hard to get from anyone else, and as someone, as an iconic figure like John, to receive it from him is, you know, great inspiration to try and do as well as he has.
You know, we all have dreams. What is your dream? To drive for a British team McLaren, or go in the red Ferrari?
Well, obviously, I think to fly the British flag would be the best feeling ever. But then also, you know, you've got to be in a position where you need to win the race. So, you know, I think obviously if I could have a choice, and you know, it would be a British team. But if the best place is somewhere else, then it never needs looking at.
Okay. Among all the drivers you have raced against in your young career, karting and car racing now, who do you respect as, wow, these guys are tough competitors? Give us some names so we look out for these guys also.
Well, when I was karting, there was a lot of, you know, good drivers, and especially then I was racing people a lot older than me. But most of them are still in karting. The people I'm racing against currently, you know, Robin Frins, you know, won the rookie championship last year, very fast driver. And also there's a lot of good drivers, you know, in UK Renault Euro Cup. I haven't had a chance to race against, but I think, you know, they're all very respectable drivers, and you know, for sure everybody wants to be in Formula One, and there's not so many seats available every year. But yeah, let's see, hopefully I can be in the right place at the right time and just grab one of them.
Okay, really appreciate your time. Finally, will you please tell our listeners a little bit about Jack Harvey, the young man from England, your taste in music, what do you like to do in your spare time, if you have any, what kind of food you like, and just general stuff, the non-racing Jack Harvey.
Well, I was just turned 17 in April, so still, you know, pretty young, single, so, you know, if there's any girls out there, you know, then don't hesitate to get in contact with me.
Yeah, what's your website? You know what, you're talking just like Alex Brundle, because when I told him we have a lot of ladies listening, he says, call me. So what's your website?
My website is jackharveyracing.com, but, you know, I have Facebook and all this sort of thing.
You mean business.
I think it's important too. But no, I think in my spare time I like to go into my local city. You know, we go bowling and, you know, play pool and things like that. So, yeah, it's good life.
Great. We do a show from California. Have you ever been to the US?
I've never been. Never.
What's the problem with young drivers in Europe? You got to come to Cali or New York or any particular place you would like to visit?
Obviously, it'd be good to go to New York to see what it's like there. Washington, California, I think would be really good. I'd love to go to watch, you know, the Indianapolis race or Daytona. So, you know, if anybody's listening who wants to give me some tickets, then, you know, again, get in contact.
So if I buy you an Indianapolis 500 race ticket, not the British Airways ticket, will you show up there?
Oh, definitely, yeah, I'll be there.
You know what? We might surprise you.
Thank you, sir.
Jack Harvey, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now, let's go right to the wrap-up. And of course, we have no forum updates. I don't know who dropped the ball, but
they're probably all getting ready to travel to Canada.
That's it, and that's a good excuse. I like it, Steve. Quickly, San Francisco Formula One Group, or SFF1.com, will be at the Go-Kart Racer this Sunday. Flag drops at 9 a.m. This is at 1541 Adrian Road in Burlingame, California, right down the street from our beautiful San Francisco International Airport. You can also go to twitter.com/SFF1 for details. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, go to CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@F1Weekly.com. Just want to remind the listeners, Hurley's Irish Bar and Grill in beautiful downtown Montreal, June 11th, Friday, 5 p.m. Be there or be square. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.